Lord, open our hearts and minds by the power of your Holy Spirit, that the words I speak may proclaim your gospel, and we may hear with joy what you say to us today. Amen. Amen. I was actually going to use Jeremiah this morning, and the title of the sermon was, Jeremiah was a bullfrog. Unfortunately, I couldn't find anything within Jeremiah that would lead credence to such a title, sermon title. So I chose not to do that. I thought I'd bore you with something else this morning in the next 30 or 40 minutes that I have designated. My question, if you're going to cough, would you please go outside? I'm trying to stay healthy until at least I get on board a ship in a couple of days. Have you ever lost anything, like kids? This is not to hypnotize you or put you to sleep. Car keys? Telephone? Wallet? Well, this is a story, gospel of being lost and found. Now, most of you know that I do not tell personal stories and sermons up until this point, which I'm going to do. In 1982 in December, I thankfully had graduated from the Chaplain's Advanced Course at Fort Monmouth, New Jersey. It was a great 8-week course jammed into 6 lovely months of fun and frivolity. I was so happy to get out there. The Commandant even said to myself and a friend of mine, George Piakovich, we're glad to see you go. Little did he know that some years later, both of us returned with vengeance to lead that school into a new chapter of its history and hopefully better instruction. But anyway, I was assigned to go to 5th Corps headquarters in Frankfurt, Germany, and I said, can anything good happen in Frankfurt, Germany? Little did I realize what a wonderful place that was to be assigned for the 54 lovely months we stayed there. But the story is about me going ahead for 72 days without my wife and family, although I could have had what the military called concurrent travel. That means we could have all traveled together, which means my wife, our son John, and our daughter Mary Lamar would have been in a hotel in Frankfurt, Germany for 72 wonderful and lovely days until I found housing. So I decided to go ahead. So sometime around day 71 or 72, Mary, John and Mary Lamar got on a wonderful Pan Am 747 to come to Frankfurt, Germany. Well, you know, in those 747s in economy, there were like 6 seats across in the center, and I think my wife, my son, and my daughter were like in the middle. And unfortunately, our daughter had an accident, which I will not go into in much further detail. But my wife cleaned it up. And for any details I miss, you can talk to Mary at the forum about what I've screwed up here, okay? So she gets her all cleaned up, and guess what? Then John has to go to the bathroom. So Mary takes him to the bathroom. He's finished. She walks down the aisle. She turns around, and he's not there. Well, the good news is he hadn't gotten off the airplane at 36,000 feet. That was the good news. So she looked, I think she searched under seats and disturbed a whole bunch of sleeping people, and finally out of good common sense or desperation or both, she went and talked to the stewardess, and after a few minutes of searching, there they found Jonathan in a laboratory, sitting on the top of a toilet seat, legs crossed, fast asleep. So the lost was found. One of my favorite things to lose is a magazine I'm reading, or my most favorite thing, it's not my keys, my wallet, or my telephone, it's that blessed TV changer. Can't find it anywhere. So what do we do when we misplace something? We usually retrace our steps to the places we've been until we find it. As my mother used to say, a house never loses anything. So in our gospel reading this morning, it's about parents who misplace something And now these weren't just any parents. This was Mary and Joseph, the parents of Jesus. And Mary and Joseph didn't misplace something like a book or some keys or remote. They misplaced their son Jesus. Now Luke is the only gospel writer to give us a clue about Jesus' childhood. As a doctor and an observer of life, he had a sense of the importance of the story, and he chose this one incident because it so reveals so much about the boy Jesus. You know, sometimes we do lose Jesus in our own life. We get busy with our daily routines that we never give him a thought, and one day we realize he's missing. Do you know what we need to do when that happens? We need to retrace our steps back to the place where we left him. And where can we usually find him? In his father's house. The other thing is that children can go missing. Many of us spend our lives looking for peace. We often look for such things as relationships, drugs, alcohol, food, or material possessions. True peace can only be found in a relationship with Jesus, and we can find him in his word. Now, Jewish law required that every single adult male living within 25 miles of Jerusalem to attend the Feast of the Passover and then the succeeding celebration of the Feast of the Unleavened Bread. Every male Jew, no matter where he lived, desired to partake in these high and holy days of Jerusalem at least one time in their lifetime. Now, women were not required to go, but they often did. Mary, Jesus, and Joseph went during the Feast of the Passover on this particular occasion. Now, we read that Mary had searched for Jesus for 3 days. Those of you who are parents can imagine the severity of their fear and stress. She might have questioned her ability to be a mother, to let something like this happen to her son. She might even be filled with self-doubt, self-loathing, along with her maternal instincts never to stop searching for Jesus, just like Mary never stopped looking for Jonathan. No matter what the cost to herself, she didn't eat. Did she eat anything during these 3 days? Did she get any sleep? Leaving Jesus behind was not an act of negligence by Jesus' parents. Most entourages to the Passover feast went by caravan, with the women and children traveling ahead because they went slower, and the men followed behind. Whole caravans of relatives and friends traveled together. There was less danger of robbery and increased fellowship. If the journey lasted more than a day, the travelers would agree on a stopping place and then set up a camp for the night. Joseph might have assumed that Jesus was with Mary, and Mary must have assumed that Jesus was with Joseph. And a gathering point at the end of the first day is probably when Mary and Joseph realized that Jesus wasn't with either one of them. Well, after searching, they found Jesus in the temple with the teachers, the rabbis. He was listening and asking questions. And this was appropriate because God is love, and love involves listening. And during Passover, the Jewish religious leaders or teachers would come out on the terrace of the temple, sit in a circle on the floor, and discuss matters of law, Jewish theology, and worship. Guests could become part of that discussion. And so as Jesus spoke with the teachers in the temple, he was not speaking and teaching the leaders as God. He spoke as a boy with a passion for God and a keen mind, seeking to learn as much as possible from these respected teachers. By the time Jewish boys were 5, they would have begun to read scriptures aloud, including Leviticus, the book of ceremonial law that explained how devout Jews should perform their various religious observances. By the age of 12, they knew the Psalms and were instructed in the basics of Hebrew law and history. And Jesus' understanding, the ability to integrate and articulate a diversity of information, was extraordinary. Although Joseph had apparently held his tongue when he found out that Jesus was missing, Mary reacted emotionally, calling attention to the distress Jesus had caused them. But these first recorded words of his established that he knew both his divine identity as the Son of God and his purpose. Mary did not fully understand all that God was doing in the life of her child Jesus. She accepted that God was at work, that Jesus really was about God's business in God's house. Well, Jesus' response kind of startled his parents. They did not understand that Jesus had just crossed a spiritual threshold, claiming his rabbinical vocation. Jesus became attuned with God's vision for him and his life. He became our healer, teacher, and our savior. He experienced divine wisdom. He experienced a sense of holiness in the events of life and openness to the image of God in unexpected and contrasting places. If his parents had known where he must be, they would not have searched so frantically in so many other places for so long. And Jesus told them something about the sense he had of God's call in his life. Jesus, like most children, possessed a special clarity and wisdom when it came to matters of faith. It's no wonder that Jesus told his disciples, "Let the little children come to me." It is also no wonder that Jesus told us that we must come to the kingdom like little children, naive, full of wonder, curious, and trusting. Unfortunately, sometimes as adults, we often throw cold water on this understanding with rules, regulations, and structure. I certainly understand what that is like growing up. What would our churches and faith communities look like if we could instill in our congregations that they are to treat children the same way that teachers, the rabbis, treated Jesus? Did they tell him to go away? They engaged him and let him speak. If we engage with children, one of them might become the next great spiritual leader. So Joseph and Mary did not fail to trust in Jesus, who is also their Lord. They did not see the demands of love unfold, and trust is a part of love that makes more demands as years go by. God is with us through Christ, so children should be given his divine presence as early as possible. They will grow just as Jesus did. Jesus grew in wisdom and grace, age, and love. To grow in love is to grow in the capacity to both trust and to be trusted. When Jesus answered Mary and Joseph, he made a clear distinction between his heavenly father and his earthly father. And this is the first time that Jesus introduces us to the concept as God of Father who is present, someone we can call Abba, which means father or daddy. This was not the awesome God that the Jews worshiped, served, and feared. We can talk to God about anything. We can relate to him, and he can give us direction. He cares about us in all situations of life. From a very early age, Jesus spent a lot of time alone with his heavenly Father. This practice made him spiritually mature far beyond his years. And even as a child, Jesus spoke in ways his hearers did not often understand. Christians often struggle to gain an understanding as Mary and his disciples were. Jesus grew and learned. Did not have all knowledge from the time he was born. When he became human, he, like all children, learned by observing and by trial and error. He learned responsibility by parental rules and enforcement, and those rules and values became internalized. Even though he had to learn, like all children, God specifically gifted him. He knew who he was, even if his parents did not. He answered his call to obey God. But part of that obedience involves submitting to his earthly parents. And in doing so, he obeyed the commandments to honor his earthly mother and father. What Mary experienced when she did not know who Jesus was, sometimes we do not know either. Jesus' own life was chaotic and scary at times. Like the Christian life is an adventure. We know we must do this. We know we must have to be with Jesus and with each other. Jesus said it was important for him to be in his Father's house. His priority was set. It's also for us important for us to be in God's house. Why? Because his Father's house is our Father's house too. It's a house of worship, house of prayer, house of peace, house of love, house of joy, and a house of community. Do not let anything keep us from doing what matters most. Jesus knew what his priorities was. Do we know what our priorities should be in 2026? Shouldn't our priorities be the same as Jesus' priority? What a better place and priority could there be for a child of God and for us than to be here this morning in God's house? Amen.